Workman, Brother and Sister, W.D. St. Helena, California, September 23, 1908. Mr. and Mrs. Wilford Workman, Tacoma Park Station, Washington. Dear children, I have written some things that I wish to be read to the school. If you do not wish to read it, someone else can read it to the students and teachers as a letter from Sister White. It is not because I have forgotten you that I have not written to you, but because of the press of work that is continually upon me. No sooner is one batch of letters and manuscripts dealt with than another is placed before me, perhaps more difficult than the last. I am finding so many things to do that I cannot get time to rest. There are many manuscripts to look over, and some straight testimonies to be borne. All my time is fully occupied. My left eye has been troubling me considerably, and for a few days I have had serious throat difficulty. A number in the neighborhood have been afflicted with the same trouble. A camp meeting is now in session in Fresno. Elder Haskell did not advise me to attend. He wrote me from that place. It is fearfully hot. I dare not say come. But if he had said come, it would have been an impossibility for me to go. For 2 days I have been suffering from an attack of influenza. Sarah gave me very thorough treatment, such as we used to give to the sick before we had sanitariums established. I am drawing near to another birthday, when I shall enter my 82nd year. I have great freedom in speaking to the people, and more especially to those not of our faith. I enjoy being where I can speak to this class of people who have not had the privileges we have had of knowing the truth. I should not be bound down to so much examination of manuscript. I am asked to read every part of the selections made. I realize that it is wonderful that the Lord blesses me with such clearness of mind, and I am grateful. I expect to attend the next General Conference in Washington. Edson is very desirous that I shall go to Nashville in October, but I dare not attempt this. The strain of the journey to Southern California was very severe upon me. Nevertheless, the Lord sustained me throughout the 5 weeks of our absence from home. On the last Sunday of the camp meeting at Los Angeles, I spoke to a very large congregation in the tent. There were a number of the Women's Christian Temperance Union workers present, and I tried to present the importance of the Sabbath of the Fourth Commandment, giving the Word of God for its observance. At the close, I made a strong appeal for all to study their Bibles and to take their position for the right. As I ceased speaking, one lady, a member of the Women's Christian Temperance Union, came up to me and, throwing her arms around me, said, "Sister White, I take my position to keep the Bible Sabbath." There were tears in her eyes as she spoke. Her confession of the truth made a solemn impression upon the people. I was very thankful for this opportunity of presenting the sacred truth of the Word of God. I let the Word of God speak for itself. A "Thus saith the Lord" is all sufficient. We were thankful that the meeting closed so well. We have a deep interest in you, my children. We pray that your health will be preserved, that you may carry through the lines of study you have undertaken. Do not fail or become discouraged. Your letters do not indicate that you are losing heart. I praise the Lord for this. To students and teachers, I am instructed to say to the workers in our sanitariums and to the teachers and students in our schools that there is need of guarding ourselves upon the point of appetite. There is danger of becoming lax in this respect and of letting our individual cares and responsibilities so absorb our time that we shall not take time to eat as we should. My message to you is, take time to eat and do not crowd into the stomach a great variety of foods at one meal. To eat hurriedly of several kinds of food at a meal is a serious mistake. Those who respect the laws of their being will give time and thought to the needs of the body and to the laws of digestion. Respect paid to the proper treatment of the stomach will be rewarded in clearness of thought and strength of mind. Your digestive organs will not be prematurely worn out to testify against you. We are to show that we appreciate our God-given intelligence by eating and studying and working wisely. A sacred duty devolves upon us to keep the body in such a state that we shall have a sweet, clean breath. We are to appreciate the light God has given on health reform by word and practice, reflecting clear light to others upon this subject. This is a solemn obligation that God places upon each one of us. In all that we do, whether we eat or drink, we are to seek the glory of God. Many spoil their dispositions by eating improperly. We should be just as careful to learn the lessons of health reform as we are to have our studies perfectly prepared. For the habits that we adopt in this direction are helping to form our characters for the future life. It is possible for one to spoil his spiritual experience by an ill use of the stomach. The obligation which we owe to God to keep the body in health is an individual responsibility, and one which no one can bear for another. We are to eat and drink to the glory of God. Then we shall preserve for ourselves peace of mind and comfort of body. Every nerve and muscle of our being is to be regarded as a sacred charge. If we will do all in our power to keep the body in health and the brain clear and strong, we will receive ability to comprehend the truth as it is in the Word, and we will have an earnest purpose to secure eternal life. The Lord requires us to work out our own salvation day by day. He will not work a miracle to prevent the result of mistreatment of our organs. It is ours to reason from cause to effect, to remember that we are the Lord's property, and to unite with God in keeping our bodies clean and pure and healthy, and our whole being sanctified to Him. When we thus manifest our respect for our Creator and for the gift He has given us in Jesus Christ, we will receive an increase of faith and of grace every day. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. In the sixth chapter of his Gospel, the disciple John tells us of most precious things that are made possible to us if we will individually act our part. This is the will of Him that sent me, that every one that seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 40. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Christ declared, He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread which I give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Verses 47 to 51.